Everybody wants to be a cat.
Yep, that song is still stuck in my head. Welcome to the Bee's Knees of Disney. This is The Aristocats. Quite an interesting movie. I'm really kind of excited to talk about this one. Because I think I have a lot of different feelings about it. This movie was made in 1970. It's really... interesting concept, obviously, in the name Aristocats. It's a play on aristocrats. You got a family of cats who get lost and kind of learn about the outside world. And overall, you know, this movie is good. In a lot of ways, though, it does feel pretty similar to some other movies that if you're watching these in order, you say this movie feels like this movie and another movie, and I'll talk about that. But there's a lot of, you know, charm to this movie. Some good songs, as obvious by the beginning of this episode. But I think overall this movie is good, but not much more than that. So we'll talk about that in this episode of The Bee's Knees at Disney. All right, so the Aristocats, as you can tell by the name, a lot is actually revealed in the title of the movie. Aristocats, play on aristocrats, sort of rich society. This movie takes place in Paris, so you're following sort of some rich lady with her cats. She's not the main focal point, but the cats are, and there's a few, and I'll name all of them, but I might refer to them in this more so by their color than their names, because some of their names are kind of interesting. You do have Duchess. This is the mom cat, White Cat, the oldest cat. Then you have three kittens, Toulouse. This is the black cat. Then you have Marie, which is the white girl cat. And then the youngest one. I think I'm mixing these up. I apologize. Toulouse is the orange cat. Berlouise is the black cat, youngest cat. Okay, so there you go. Four cats total in this movie. So a lot of cats. And I will say, I'll preface this. You know, I'm a cat person. I do like cats. I've always liked them. And that's kind of an interesting part of this movie, is that I don't feel like as a cat lover that I got as much as I probably could have out of a movie based on cats. If you've been following the, you know, Disney movies this far, cats have not been portrayed in the best way. One of the cats was named Lucifer in Cinderella, so it's sort of interesting that they did take this and make a movie about cats. I think notoriously, if I've read correctly, that Walt Disney was not a fan of cats. He was a fan of dogs and mice, hence all his original characters, Mickey Mouse, Pluto, Goofy, dogs and mice. So this is a movie for the cats. And I guess I'll talk a little bit more about how much they use that and how much I get out of it being a cat lover and that sort of thing. So we'll get into the plot here of Aristocats. So the movie does open with this rich lady. Let me find her name here. So this is going to be not even listed high enough here. Madame Adelaide von Famille. A wealthy former opera singer. So she has a lot of money. You can tell her house is huge. She pampers her cats very well. They all have their little beds. And then the butler of the place. So at the beginning of the movie, she's writing her will and says everything's going to go to the cats unless they are not around. And the butler would get the money in that case. So naturally, we have sort of a motivation for this butler character, who is the villain. And if I can find his name, can be hard to find. There's a lot. If you go to the cast, it's a lot of cats. It's not a lot of humans. Here we go. Edgar Balthazar. So he sort of acts as the villain because he, once he finds out about this, about the will, he's motivated, and it's obviously his money, or money that he feels like he's entitled to. He's got to get rid of the cats. But he doesn't want to exterminate them. He wants to, I guess, send them off somewhere. And so we got kind of a dark scene here where he's mixing a bunch of sleeping pills, and he dumps the whole bottle, which would effectively probably kill these cats. But this is a Disney movie, so it's funny, right? He's trying to do this. But he does mix up this milk broth for them. They drink it. The mouse drinks it. Their friend the mouse, which is pretty funny in this movie as well. This mouse character comes up a lot. He kind of looks like Sherlock Holmes. But it's very interesting. So they all drink it, and they effectively fall asleep. And he brings them in a sack or a basket, and is attempting to leave them somewhere, I suppose. But there's, as he's leaving on his motorcycle with the cats, there's these two dogs who come up a couple times in the movie. And I can tell you their names, Napoleon and Lafayette. Two dogs that they're pretty funny. I thought they were kind of a highlight of the movie. They were pretty humorous. They're dynamic. And the way they interacted with each other, and the way they were kind of like supposed to be looking out over this farm that the cats are coming over through. And they find this guy. They feel like he's up to no good, so they attack him. It starts a long sequence with a lot of things going on. In fact, a lot of action, more than I expected, where they're kind of flying around. And the slapstick comedy is in full effect here. A lot of things being spun around, a lot of legs being split, you know, classic Disney stuff. And this goes on for a couple minutes. It was funny, and it was a good sequence, so I enjoyed that. But the cats do escape, and you do get kind of an interesting sequence here where the cats kind of experience the outside world for the first time. Of course, they've been pampered. They've been coddled their whole life, and some of them are really shocked by this new turn of events and new environment. And one of the cats is cold and scared, and you can feel their fear. And it's kind of a good way for us as the audience to kind of transition into their new environment. And it's scary, and they don't know what's going to happen next. And this is where I kind of want to start talking about the similarities between this movie and two movies that Disney has already put out. So in this way, it kind of felt a little bit not fresh for me. Now, obviously, if you watch this without seeing the other two movies I'm about to mention, you might not notice. But I think that's not really fair to say, because this did come out after those movies. So most people who were watching this probably have seen the other ones. So it comes off a little lazy in that case. It does feel like a combination of 101 Dalmatians and The Lady and the Tramp. So the reason I say that is The Lady and the Tramp is about kind of a pampered pet who gets put out in the street and learns their way. Similar here, and we'll get to even more similarities where a new character is introduced, which is this alley cat named Thomas O'Malley, kind of a sweet-talking, almost reminds me of like a Frank Sinatra cat who kind of is in love with the white cat Duchess, I suppose. And he's sort of the tramp character in this story. He's the outsider who wants to show them the way and has an interest in these pampered pets. So there's a similarity there with The Lady and the Tramp in this movie. Now, with 101 Dalmatians, you have kidnapped pets, kind of being put aside, having to band together, and having that fish out of water experience. And so those two movies kind of rear their head here, and it feels a lot like those two with cats. It's kind of like if you were going to sell this movie to an audience, or even to make the movie, I think you would say it's 101 Dalmatians meets Lady and the Tramp, and you'd be pretty accurate, because a lot of the same things happen in this movie. So as I was just saying, you have Thomas O'Malley. He's sort of leading the these cats now, and then they go down a river, and that's an interesting sequence, good action sequence. Then you meet these two geese, which were kind of strange at first. They're like English geese, but I feel like it was pretty funny, pretty good sequence with the geese. Eventually, the geese, they take the cats to a town to meet their drunk uncle, and I kid you not, this uncle is a drinker, alcoholic, very drunk. Might have missed this as a kid, but this guy is slurring, he's falling down, you know, it plays a little different as an adult seeing that, and this character, how realistic he could be. So I thought that was really interesting, but it was funny, and it was humorous, and it was entertaining, so I'm not going to say that's not a good part about it. But overall, I thought that this movie stayed entertaining throughout. It was, had a good, you know, entry plot, a good setup. And so you're on this adventure with these cats. And it ends up being very entertaining because of the characters that you meet along the way. And this comes to the kind of climactic, semi-climactic part of the movie, which is where Thomas O'Malley introduces all the cats to his kind of band of cats, and I mean that literally. These cats are in a jazz band. They play piano, saxophone, trumpet. They sing, and this is probably the strongest part of the movie, I thought. The characterization of these cats is really strong. Now some of them are a bit stereotype, racist, quasi, just with the way they portray them. This was in 1970, but I will say if you remove that part and you look at kind of their musicianship, how they embodied this feeling that they were a band, it works really well. Because the song they sing, which I was singing at the beginning of the podcast, "Everybody Wants to Be a Cat," is really catchy, and it's fun, and it kind of rounds out this movie. I think without this sequence, this movie would be really ho-hum. It wouldn't really pop at all. I don't think there would be much to this movie at all if not for this sequence, honestly. Because at this point, it's fun, it's entertaining, but it doesn't have that, like, showstopper moment yet. And to me, that's, this movie gives that showstopper moment. This musical sequence, they're running around, they're banging through floors, they jump on a piano and destroy a building, basically. These cats are menaces. So, and that embodies what cats are, right? They do what they want. They don't care about what you think. They're gonna do what they do. And I think that's kind of fun. This is the sequence that I think is the most famous of the movie for a reason. It's unique, it's fun, it's interesting, it works really well. As an audience member, it's one that I remembered as a kid. I only watched this movie once or twice, and I don't know why, it didn't grab me as a kid, but this sequence is one that doesn't leave you easily. So, I'd say that Everybody Wants to Be a Cat is just one of the best sequences. Thus far, I would say, in the whole Disney movie so far. That doesn't mean the movie is the best movie, but this sequence itself is really great. And so after the break, I'm going to take a short break. We're going to talk a little bit. I'm going to talk a little bit about the ending of the movie and any deep moments, if there are any, in this film. All right, so obviously this sequence is called Deep Moments, and usually here I kind of round out the film and talk about the emotional core, the driving force behind the film, and if there are any moments like that in this movie. And to be fair, there are some moments in this movie like that. And I'd say the main sort of emotional part of this movie is O'Malley and Duchess's sort of love story, and O'Malley wanting Duchess to run off with him, and the kids obviously want that as well, but Duchess explained, you know, I have an owner that loves me very much, and you can see that throughout the movie, that this Madame Adelaide is, you know, treats them almost like her children. And I don't think she has children, so that might be the kind of substitute. So she says, you know, I can't go with you, O'Malley. And there's kind of a, you know, the sequence is sort of sad in that way, that they're going to have to part. So, but we do have a climactic sequence at the end where the cats get back, but Edgar, the butler, finds them first and tries to put them in a sack and send them to Timbuktu, literally, in a chest and lock them up. So what you have is you have the mouse now being sent to the alley cats to get some help, and O'Malley's helping, so he can't go. There's a kind of funny sequence with the band of cats that we saw earlier. They're not believing him at first because he's a mouse. Looks like they might eat him, but then he says their name. He says the name O'Malley. They understand, and they go and try to rescue the cats. There's a fun, you know, action sequence, all the animals banding together. And then eventually they do put this butler inside the chest, and he goes to Timbuktu. So it's kind of a fun revenge, justified karma moment for the audience to see him be the one that goes into the chest instead of the cats. So then Madame Adelaide is reunited. Obviously, she takes in the Thomas O'Malley. She starts a charity foundation, and all the other cats, alley cats, are able to stay in her house. So that's a really nice way to wrap it up. A little bit, I don't want to say cheesy, but kind of clean ending. Just everyone gets a happy ending. But this is a Disney movie, so you kind of expect it. Especially at this point, they're not trying to be dark with the endings too much. So, you know, this is kind of what you expect. So that being said, the fact that this kind of goes in with the tone of the whole movie, it is kind of a fun, doesn't really take a lot of risks. There's not a lot of, you know, emotional moments where you're tearing up or you're thinking about things in that way. It's more of a safe movie, but it's a funny movie. I think that's where it kind of leans into. It's a charming movie with the song, with the characters, with, you know, kind of running into different characters and then going on. That kind of makes the movie strong. And I did forget to mention, one of my favorite sequences was we were reintroduced to the two dogs again, and the butler's trying to get his hat and something else, umbrella, back from them because they stole it or they took it or whatever. And it's just a long sequence of, it's just funny. It's just the dynamic of the dogs and how they kind of get mad at each other, and it's those interactions and it's that sequence that it's funny, and it's charming, and it's kind of what makes this movie what it is. Because it's not a deep movie. It's not a movie that, you know, makes you think, kind of tugs at your heartstrings too much. The only part that really does that is maybe when O'Malley and Duchess aren't able to be together. But that's brief. That's not really in line with the tone of the movie. I'd say the tone of the movie is more, this is fun, this is charming, this is inventive, the songs are good, you're going to like the characters, but that doesn't mean it's going to blow you away with its depth, which, you know, at this point, I kind of start to think about, is that what I'm looking for in these movies? Because maybe at the beginning of this, with Pinocchio, Snow White, Fantasia, Bambi, they were trying to do something emotionally in every movie, deep. And now, it partly could be because Walt Disney is no longer involved in these movies. He passes away during the Jungle Book. Maybe they're going for something more light, something more family friendly, something more accessible, easy to digest. That's what I'm starting to see a little bit here. I'm seeing maybe, and there's nothing wrong with that. I do prefer maybe the Pinocchios and the Bambis. I just think you can do so much with animation sometimes emotionally, and tapping into it and affecting people. But at the same time, I understand it is a kid's movie. It's a kid's, mostly kid's genre animation. So you're going to play into that a little bit. And you're starting to see them kind of play more into that. Not to say there's not quality here, because there is. Like I said, the humor, the characters, those are really strong. And those are really unique. And there's a lot of effort and inventiveness put into that. But as far as like how it affects you emotionally, that's not really in this movie as much. And another thing with that note, and just, I usually talk about the animation in this movie. This animation didn't blow me away. And another part of that is, I was watching this, I watched these on Disney Plus. It's on an HDTV. I did notice a lot of sloppiness with the animation as far as like pencil marks or smudges. When things were shifting, there was a lot of that in this movie, and I hadn't noticed it at all up until this movie. But this movie in particular, I noticed a lot of kind of sloppiness. It didn't take away from the movie, but I found it interesting, you know, watching Snow White up until this point, how the animation has changed. And in this case, I noticed that it was kind of sloppy. I don't know why. I don't know, maybe something with the remastering, but my guess is it just wasn't as polished. It wasn't as, you know, redo that, do that again, make sure that doesn't have that, you know, maybe just a little bit. It's fine, it's gonna work, we're gonna make our money, people are gonna like this movie. I don't know that for sure, and I'll have to look at the next movie and see what, if that's another occurrence, or if it was just this movie and the way it was done just kind of added to that. So I think, you know, a big takeaway from this movie at all is that it's entertaining. It does feel a little bit like Lady and the Tramp and 101 Dalmatians already with those themes, and it doesn't really go deeper into any of those, and it doesn't really want to be a deep movie. I feel like it wants to be a fun movie, and it satisfies itself very well. But I don't believe, you know, it goes much beyond that. I think it really is a fun movie with fun characters and a really fun song and sequence. But it's not going to blow you away in an emotional way. But overall, you know, I enjoy this movie. And I think I'm going to kind of sum up all my thoughts in the next sequence. All right, the Aristocats. Like I said in the last sequence, I enjoyed this movie. It was a fun movie, but it did not blow me away in any aspect as far as emotional depth. I thought the sequence "Everybody Wants to Be a Cat" is one of the strongest ones I've seen so far. As far as, you know, it being fun, inventive, interesting, well animated, good characters. That was done really well, and I think they know that's a strong part of the movie. When you watch it, it sort of happens at the time where they need something like that to happen. But overall, I thought this movie was fun. It was a good journey, had you know, enjoyable moments throughout, so it never really leaves you feeling like dragging through any sequence. I thought overall it's fun. You know, if I had to rank it thus far, like I said, it doesn't hold really a candle to like a Bambi or Pinocchio for emotional depth. But as far as like fun movie, you know, I'd say this is up there. This is better than Peter Pan, I'll just put it that way. But yeah, I Aristocats, give it a, you know, thumbs up as far as like enjoyable movie. But not much beyond that. You're going to enjoy it when you watch it, but you might not think too much about it afterwards. Okay, so the next movie that I'm going to review is Robin Hood. This is one I'm excited to do because I watched this one a lot as a kid. I don't know why. I really liked it. I'm going to see how it holds up. And as an adult, if anything, I pick up on anything. So I'm excited for that one. And that'll be the next episode coming out soon. Thank you for listening to the Bee's Knees of Disney. I appreciate all the listeners out there. Please like and subscribe. Please listen to all the episodes. We will be coming out with the big guns soon. I'm going in order. So we will eventually get to, you know, the Disney Renaissance, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King, those type of movies. Looking forward to that, but doing this in order for a reason. So I'm going to keep to it, and hope to see you through for those and the next episode. See you then.